When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Yeah, and if you're hearing that intro and going, oh, really? I thought Annie was back yesterday. She was. It's a weird circumstance where, for whatever reason, I'm just going to assume that she was just screaming last night for no reason. I have really no idea, but her voice just completely went away. She warned us last night that it was getting kind of weak, and then this morning, it was gone. So here we are, filling in for Annie, and hopefully, again, she'll be back tomorrow. Had a good time with her return yesterday, and we always like it when the host is here. Those of us who have a rhythm are very out of rhythm when the host is not here. My name is Ryan Wiggins, and Brad Range here. We're filling in for Annie today. A number of ways that I talked to Brad ahead of time, I said, man, it's weird because it's not a slow news time, but it's kind of a jumble. There's lots of stories. And one of those that we were just talking about before we went on is that earthquake in Russia, or it was at least was outside of Russia, and all of the tsunami warnings. I don't know if you even saw this because I'm just catching up. Tsunami warnings for Japan and then Hawaii. Most of that now at this moment has been lifted. I don't know about Japan, but for Hawaii and for anybody in the United States, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a major problem for us. It ended up not being a major problem for Russia, at least it looks like, too. CNN says tsunami waves hit U.S. shores after 8.8 magnitude quake. That is a massive
sixth
largest ever
in since we've been recording
in recorded history.
Yeah,
that's the sixth largest earthquake that we have on record. Strikes Russia's far east. Obviously, if it's in the Pacific, it's going to be the far east of Russia. It doesn't look like there's been a lot of damage even there. But that, you know, we're going to be watching that. If something changes, of course, we will shift gears and be talking about breaking news. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. A few other things, and I really wanted to lead with a story about the key players in the Russia collusion hoax. We are going to talk about this at some point in the show. I can't tell you exactly when yet because, everything's kind of fluid, just filling in today. But there are many people involved in this Russia collusion hoax. And I don't even know if calling it the Russia collusion hoax is the right name for it. I know Mark Cox is calling it Russia Gate. I'm like, this is criminal conspiracy to commit treason.
It's bad.
It's huge. And that's why I think we need to be talking about this. Great article here from Jonathan Turley. I know Brad's been working really hard to get Jonathan Turley on the show to talk about this stuff. But we're going to address that later in the show. I will say this, though. The way that we're going to lead is simply because it's very hot out. And I don't know why when it's hot. I would think the reverse would be true. But when it's hot, I see so many homeless people all over the place. And I haven't always worked in downtown St. Louis, but I have now here for 6 years. I've worked around all over St. Louis for a long time. And, of course, my town on the Illinois side, we have seen an increase in homelessness. The YouTube live chat poll question today is about that topic. This is a bigger topic and I think today's a good day to do it. Is homelessness getting worse in your town? Yes or no? And one of the reasons that I'm asking that is because Trump just signed an executive order. If you didn't know anything about this, it's because there hasn't been a lot of reporting on this one. He signs a lot of executive orders. The man is a machine, even more than Pujols was in his heyday. This dude, President Trump, really does not stop. And so the news never stops equally. And things like this that are really kind of a big deal get glazed over. I pulled this article deliberately from a non-friendly news site, MSN. So you know the angle that they're coming at this. And the headline is "Mixed Reactions Follow Trump's Executive Order on Homelessness." Some of the headlines you may have seen on this were about Trump reopening insane asylums. That is kind of, I mean, that's a crude way to put it, but that is kind of what's involved in this executive order. Let me give you the key points of this, and I just want to see what you think about it. And of course, we are going to be talking about this during the show. You can comment on it. You can vote on it. But we're also going to take calls in the next segment. Not yet. I'll give you the phone number at the end of this one. And we'll take calls because I want to know how it is in your town. And really, if you have any suggestions, solutions, I think we're all open to them. So feel free. Be thinking about that as we're talking here. But the executive order itself says that the homeless be moved into long-term institutional settings for humane treatment of drug and mental health issues. Now, I'm not going to say I agree with all these, but most of these seem pretty practical to me. Mm-hmm. Homeless be moved into long-term institutional settings for humane treatment of drug and mental health issues. That's the first one. And let me say this. That alone is a complete departure from this term that I guess if you're in that scope of work or you're in that industry that deals with homelessness or charity or something of the like, there is a term called housing first. Have you ever heard of this, Brad?
I've heard the term.
Capital H, capital F, housing first. It's a program. The approach to housing first has been the government's approach for at least the last two decades. So when you talk about the administrative state, this is them running things the way they want to run things, with really no direction from any president, because obviously that spans many different administrations with many different philosophies, including Trump's. 20 years of housing first. How's housing first doing? Well, I would think that it's not doing well, since my answer to the question is that homelessness is getting worse. Love to know what you think. But housing first is an approach to ending homelessness that prioritizes providing immediate and permanent housing to individuals and families. So putting them in houses.
Yeah.
Government housing, without preconditions like sobriety or treatment participation. So there's no prerequisite for you to do anything to get your free housing. That's housing first. It then offers supportive services to them to help them maintain their housing and address other needs like health, mental health, and employment. So there's ongoing, at least in theory, there's ongoing care or check-ins, but there's really nothing at stake for the person receiving the benefits. They just get free housing. And like I said, this has been going on for at least 20 years. Do you think it's working? I would have to argue that it is not. So Trump's EO comes along and says, we're changing everything. This is what I love about this administration. They are looking at every nook and cranny and saying, where's there a problem? How do we fix it? Will it work? We don't know. We never really know, but clearly it's getting worse. I mean, in my opinion, it's getting way worse. Like I said, haven't always worked downtown St. Louis, but in my time here, just in the last 6 years, it's gotten worse.
Well, it's gotten worse here, but I'm noticing it, and it's like today's poll question, is it getting worse in your hometown? I'm noticing homeless people in my hometown, and it's a small hometown.
And I've lived in Collinsville for a long time, so it's a good case study for me because I've been there for so long. We've always had a person or two in town that you almost would know their name, or they'd have a name. You'd be
like old Crazy Joe or whatever.
Yeah, like that, or there's Trenchcoat Guy, you know, whatever.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But it's the same guy or the same lady. And they're there for a long time, and maybe they even have roots in the community. Like maybe they grew up there, and they just have mental health problems or drug problems, whatever. But now I'm seeing so many people that it's like, oh, there's the lady with the dog again, standing at that same street corner, and then she's there for 3 weeks, and then maybe she moves on, and there's other random people. It's a lot more than it used to be. Mm-hmm. So back to this executive order. It also reasserts the right of the state, I think this is not just state, like federal government, the state, to impose involuntary commitment on individuals with mental illness who pose risk to themselves or the public or living on the streets and cannot care for themselves. The key words there, involuntary commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a choice. We're going to do something about you because you're causing problems. That's what it's saying. Enforces prohibitions on open illicit drug use, urban camping and loitering, and urban squatting. So it's saying you can't do that anymore.
So you can't have this big homeless encampment here off of the Stan Musial Bridge anymore.
According to the federal government, as of a couple days ago, that's done. It's going to take time to implement, of course. Ends federal funding for, and this is how it enacts that, because the local government has to participate in this, obviously. Yeah. Ends federal funding for drug injection sites or programs that allow illicit drug use or provide drug paraphernalia. How much more obvious can you get? You have to do this. If you are a government using taxpayer dollars to give crack pipes or needles to drug addicts, what the hell is wrong with you? What are you thinking? That is not even close to compassionate.
Right.
It's clothed in compassion, but I don't even think the heart of that is compassionate at all.
This is like, again, this word flies around. I see it on the internet, toxic empathy.
Yes, that's exactly what that is.
You are empathetic to the point that whatever you're allowing these people you're empathetic toward to do is harmful to them and those around them.
You're a drug addict. Here, why don't we give you a bunch of free needles?
Well, yeah, it's like you're a drug addict. You're feeling bad. I'm not going to be able to stop you from doing drugs, so what I'm going to do is give you a way to do those drugs so that you maybe don't get a disease from a dirty needle.
I mean, it's insane. It requires nothing. It's not even attempting to change a person's life.
It's an enabling behavior.
This EO, again, prohibits funding to go to programs that provide housing assistance without mandated participation in mental health or substance use treatment. That is very important, very key, because that's the funding right there. It prohibits funding to go to programs that provide housing assistance without mandated participation in mental health or substance use treatment. You have to be working toward getting out of your situation, or you will not be a part of the program.
So that guts Housing First.
Exactly, which is why I explained what Housing First is, because this is coming out and saying that's over. That era is done. It prevents sex offenders from receiving homelessness assistance, from being housed with children, and permits age or gender-specific housing. So all of these things, the only one in there that's the involuntary one is, I would say that's the most controversial, to say, look, if you are a public threat, we're going to put you in an insane asylum, mm-hmm. is basically what that's saying, and reopening places like that. This is, you know, this is a tough approach. This is not the classic liberal, hey, we're just going to give you free stuff approach to homelessness anymore. This is changing. Will it change your community? Will it change St. Louis? I don't know. It's going to take time. But I love to see an administration who's willing to see there's a problem and say, the government is actually part of this problem. It's not the sole reason that there's a problem, but it's part of the problem. I know in my hometown, of Collinsville, there's a real and I think healthy debate going on right now. That's why I'm talking about this with you, because I think this is something that every community is dealing with. And I want to know, A, with the poll, is it getting worse in your town? And B, what are your solutions? Because the grapple that's happening around me is, and you can definitely see which side's which here. I wouldn't even have to explain which side's which. But one side is saying, you know, we really, in extreme weather, like heat right now, or cold in the winter, we need to have places where homeless people can go warm up or cool down so that they're not dying or whatever, you know. And we need to have soup kitchens. We need to have places that we can help the homeless. That is a very classic approach to this problem that I think we as a nation all for a long time said, well, that sounds fine. But the problem is getting worse. So why would you continue to do the same thing? And here's where we're grappling in my town that I've heard other people on the other side of the aisle, again, I'm not even going to attach an R or a D to it, say, I hear what you're saying. I hear that there is probably genuine compassion in what you're trying to do. I don't fault you for that, but consider the outcome of the actions. The more we open warming and cooling centers and places where people can come and just constantly be getting free meals, what do you think is going to happen? More and more people are going to come to those places and then hang out around those places, and you're just attracting people to these spots. Do you want that for your community? Most people are saying no. And that's kind of the opposite of where America typically has been, because we're a very compassionate people. We look at those situations. You probably listening. You see these people and you go, dang it, I wish I could do something about it. But we don't know exactly what it is. I think Trump is trying to address this from a big federal level and saying some of the problem is that we're funding the enabling of some of this. I'm under no delusion that everything is going to be fixed quickly, but maybe some of this can be fixed with things like this, just with policies and pushing bad policies from cities in particular to change.
Mm-hmm.
So we're opening the show by asking you that question. The YouTube live chat poll is, homelessness getting worse in your town? Yes or no? I would anticipate that most people would say yes, but I'm really open to the idea if you're like, no, actually, we're not really seeing that. Maybe if you live out further rural, you're not seeing this at all. Great. Let us know. We'd like to know. And then secondly, we're going to open up the phone lines for you to call in, tell us what's going on in your city, in this area. And also, if you think there is a practical solution, maybe the idea you have won't solve everything, but you're like, here's just a thing we probably could do. I'd love to hear that. Here's the phone number, 314-241-9797. We are going to open up the phone lines. Brad's going to hit that right now. 314-241-9797. Let us know where you're at, what you're experiencing in your town, and what you think about a possible solution. And we'll be right back.
Something that was introduced in 2013 under the Obama administration, a policy called...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Housing First, which came from HUD. Much of the money that goes into homelessness around the country, it's actually federal money from HUD. This policy of Housing First decreed that any organization receiving money for homelessness is not allowed to require anything in exchange from homeless people, whether that is mental health treatment or substance abuse treatment, sobriety, any of those things. It wasn't allowed. We know that over 80% of people who are homeless have mental health or drug addiction problems. Guess what's in this order? Section 5, subsection A, quote, these actions shall include, to the extent permitted by law, ending support for Housing First. This executive order ends 12 years of disaster on homelessness. It is an absolutely fantastic news for everyone around the country, especially all of us here in California.
Well, there we go. That is one assessment of this executive order that has not gotten a lot of attention so far, but I think it's a game changer for the way that we treat homelessness in this country. We have, at least for the last 20 years, it's a change. We have opened the phone lines 314-241-9797, and we are full. So let's go first to Terry. Terry, where are you calling from, and how is homelessness in your town?
I'm calling from Perryville, South St. Louis, about 80 miles.
Okay.
And 10 years ago, we had virtually no homeless problem here in town, never did. And then about 10 and 15 years ago, it started, you see it moving, people moving in. And a couple things that I think that have triggered it. First of all, they have their own little communication network. And if they find there's a town that's taking really good care of homeless people, those they find out somewhere else and they move down to that town.
Oh, interesting. I've never heard that before.
Yes, they have their own network of communicating, and you'll see them move in. And also, the local sheriff's department, if they there's certain ones that cause it. They're mostly drug addicts, what they are. 90% of them are on some kind of drugs and mental health issues caused by the drugs. But the local sheriff's department have the same ones do the are the troublemakers all the time. So they know who they are, just like in the city, you know, they know who the troublemakers are and criminals. But what they'll do is they'll load them up and haul them to the next county line to get rid of them. And then that county will do the same thing. It'll haul them back or to the next county, and they just keep shuffling them around like that.
Yeah, I've heard of that before, Terry. You're not the only one who's said that. But I guess what I'm asking is, how is Perryville handling? Is that how Perryville is handling? And what do you think should be done? Are they not doing anything that they should be?
I'm not familiar with a whole lot of what they're doing. I don't know that they may have some shelters in town. I haven't really looked into that they go to, but I know a lot of them, and this time they live out on this, out in the woods somewhere, or, you know, next to a lot of the along the interstate to the convenience stores, stuff like that, because that's where they go to use bathrooms if they do, or, you know, get stuff, play the video games and the gambling stuff. And but I don't know what the town is really, county's really doing. I don't know of anything really to help them other than the churches or local places like that. But most of these people will not go to those places. They don't, that's not what they're looking for.
They're not looking for any accountability.
No. They don't want drugs change. Is all they really want. They want the drugs and then do what they've been doing. And it's got to start with mental health. And I think part of the problem is they started closing these institutions that used to care for these people back in the 80s. And now there's hardly any places around to take them. The drugs flowing in this country are the start of it all. It's where it starts with drugs.
You're exactly right, Terry. It really is a drug issue. Real quick story. When I visited Japan, there were a few homeless people. But you're talking about, I looked it up, a statistically insignificant amount of their population is homeless. And part of the reason is that they just don't have a drug issue there. They just don't. So it's not impossible to find anybody homeless in Japan. But you're talking about literally the biggest city in the world. And I almost saw no homeless people. It's very much tied to drugs. Let's talk to Colin. Colin, where are you calling from? And how is homelessness in your town?
Brian, how are you doing? Can you hear me all right?
I can. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Tell everybody I said hi. I used to be your security guard down there.
Colin, you're the security guard from the front desk from a while ago. Hello.
Yeah. Tell everybody I said hi.
I will.
Hey, my last year as a deputy in Jefferson County, I served 20 years in the city, and I went to Jefferson County. I was out there 5 years. My last year, I was in a homeless outreach as a deputy, and we found out of the 150 people that we contacted in that year, and we did all the keeping track of them and all that, where they're at, we only have one person that said, I don't like this. I need help. A church, we talked to a church. The church paid her rent for a year in an apartment, and her and her son moved into that apartment. And the last I heard, she's doing great. The other 149, if you ask them, hey, what can we do? Nothing. Nothing. We don't want no help. No, they mental health and drugs. That's all. That's what this whole thing is about right now.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is, here we had to have MoDOC come in for a guy that was living under a bridge at Merrimack in Arnold. He was living under that bridge there, and we gave him a week's notice. We said, dude, we're going to come and we're going to clear this out. You can't live under this bridge anymore. Because up in Kansas City, somebody died under a bridge due to a fire. So they gave us this ordinance. They said the guy can't be here anymore. Fine, we gave him a week. We went there that day. The guy was yelling at us, screaming at us from far away. And it took two dump trucks to clear all his stuff out of there.
Wow.
Now, I'm not embellishing. I have no reason to. I'm telling you, this is a problem. Working down here at 9th and Locust, we had an individual who overdosed at 11 o'clock in the morning. We gave him Narcan. He got up and took off running, ran away. And at 3:30 later that day, he was down the street and he overdosed again. And EMS had to come and pick him up.
And Colin, I'm assuming that you heard a little bit of me reading Trump's executive order. You know, what the theme we're finding is a lot of these people really don't want to change. They don't want help. So do you think an executive order like this that forces certain behavioral changes to receive benefits, do you think that will have an impact?
Yeah, I think a lot of these people need to be put in mental institutions because that's where it starts, in the drugs. And, you know, let's get them clean. Show them there's a better way to live than that.
Yeah.
I mean, what they do to these properties is disgusting.
I mean, Colin, what you're saying is not a discompassionate take on this. I mean, it's actually trying to help solve the problem. So thanks. Thanks.
Right.
Thanks for what you have done. And thanks for calling in. It was good to talk to you again.
You too, man. Tell everybody I said hi.
I will do that, Colin. Thank you. Let's go to Shauna. Shauna is calling. Well, where are you calling from, Shauna? How is homelessness where you are?
Hello. I am actually a professional in homeless services and affordable housing. And I'm calling from St. Charles County, Missouri.
Okay.
I want to say, first of all, to your last caller, I absolutely agree with everything he said, except I would argue that not everybody wants to be homeless. I think once you're addicted or mentally ill, you lack the ability to make a choice to change. But that's one perspective. But what I do want to comment on is I've been in homeless services for decades. So I was coming up just as the Reagan years were ending and everybody was deinstitutionalized. The next kind of hot button topic that HUD put out there was, we have to climb a ladder. You have to start in a shelter, then go to a transitional program. And if you're lucky enough, you'll get some housing. And then that didn't work. Housing First comes along. And I, of course, heard everything you said about that. Everything you said about Housing First is spot on. It is not working.
Okay.
But what I want to comment on is family homelessness. So what homelessness looks like in a major urban area is very different than what homelessness looks like in St. Charles County or a more suburban or rural area. And so out here, our homeless are typically single moms with children. And there aren't typically, you're not seeing all of the addiction, you're not seeing all of the mental health. What you are seeing is a lack of affordable housing. So people are living on the streets with their kids, in their cars with the kids. There's not one homeless shelter for families in St. Charles County. They're living in motels for thousands of dollars a month that could go to housing. So we need to look at what opportunities there are to maybe change zoning, to allow for smaller footprint homes in some of our municipalities, to provide opportunities. These are working people. Like in our county, we work in St. Charles, Lincoln, and Warren, but the working poor is really what it is, and they cannot afford anywhere to live. So I want to draw that distinction between what people typically think is homelessness in an urban area, which is not untrue, but people do not understand that your kids are going to school with kids who are being picked up at hotels because they're homeless.
Shauna, that is a very important distinction and one that I don't know that I would have really thought about, but I understand
exactly.
Now that you're saying
yeah.
it. Let me
yeah.
ask you this, as somebody who works in this industry, what did you say your title was again?
I actually work for Habitat for Humanity in St. Charles County. And so I'm on a really fantastic path where we are providing affordable homeownership for folks. So I'm really excited about that. But previously, the last 20, almost 25 years, I've been a director of homeless shelters in various areas of the country.
Okay. So you know what's going on. I mean, you're the
yes.
expert we should
yes.
be calling about this issue.
Yes.
So let me ask you this, Shauna. Of the people that you see and you've seen for years now,
yes.
what percentage of them would you say are this, you know, this kind of like traditional view of, gosh, we just want to help this person because they need a leg up versus what we're describing as more downtown homelessness, which is mental health, drug mm-hmm. abuse. How many of what percentage of homeless people are that category that you're talking about there? They really just need a little help.
I think I can't speak to percentages because it varies depending on your community and what supports are available. But what I can say is traditionally, in my experience, it's the suburban and urban homeless who don't want to be seen. They need help. They may even ask for help, but the help doesn't exist, right? So they're going to the food pantries, but then they're doubling up or splitting their kids up. They're sending their kids to different homes to sleep so they have a safe place to sleep at night, but then the family is split up. And then, so that's typically what we're seeing in a suburban area. Not always, because there are pockets in the suburban areas of, you know, your encampments and
sure.
your addiction and your mental health, but it's typically the vast majority are single parents, mostly moms, not always, with children that are underage. And again, in the city, I'm not saying that doesn't happen in the city as well or in urban areas, but typically you're going to see your individuals who are your, you know, what people consider stereotypical homeless people on the corner. So that's a distinction I don't think many people think of. And it's like, well, we live in St. Charles County, one of the most affluent counties in the state. Well, we don't have homelessness. Well, of course we do. They're hiding themselves. They're not panhandling on the street. They want some dignity. They don't want their children to be seen as homeless. So the moms or dads or whomever, the caregivers are out there trying to piece together random jobs to do their best to be able to afford to put food on the table or, you know, a roof over their head. I will say one thing. I think the school district out here, there's a whole nother law about that, McKinney-Vento Act, but provides protections for children who are homeless so that they don't have to move around as much in terms of education. So they have a little bit of continuity. But our school districts out here do a fantastic job of advocating for their families that are homeless.
Shauna, I'm going to ask you something here. You don't have to do this, but I have more questions, a couple more questions for you. But we have
sure.
to take a break. Can you mm-hmm. stay through the break and I can ask you a couple more on the other side?
Sure.
If you can't, it's okay. I understand that you were just calling in and you're not trying to take up your whole day here. But
nope, it's something I'm passionate about and it's the work I do.
Well, okay. Well, then let's take a short break. I'll come back, ask a couple more questions of Shauna, Kevin, anybody else who's on the line. We'll get to you guys before we have to break again. Short break here. We'll be right back with more on The Annie Fry Show. Thanks for weighing in on this topic. It's one that I think does kind of unite everybody in that we all know it's a problem. And I think we all know it's getting worse. We're asking you if it's getting worse in your hometown. It's part of today's YouTube live chat poll. Let's get right back to Shauna, who's worked in the industry or the orbit of homeless charities for, what, 25 years now, Shauna?
Yes.
So, look, I wanted to ask you this because you're coming at this from a different perspective than I really had heard much of, and that is from the suburban perspective of
yes.
homelessness growing even in the suburbs. Are you seeing it grow? I should ask you that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, especially since housing costs have risen so much over the past years. So housing costs in terms of affordability and home ownership has risen, but also all of these apartments that are being built are all high end. There is nothing built for a middle class, truly middle class or lower middle class family. So, you know, I could get you statistics. I don't have them in my brain right this second, but we have all the statistics to show what the average rent is, what the average home costs, what an entry-level home would be. And yeah, absolutely. There's nothing affordable whatsoever.
I mean, that makes
perfect
sense.
Everything seems
built to tie in. Yeah, of course. Of course this would happen. We've talked about this issue before. It's just better to hear from somebody like you who's there actually counseling people, talking to people, trying to help them. And that's why I wanted to have you come back for this one more question. And the question is, Shauna, you said, you know, at the beginning of your call that you really agree with a lot of what some of the other callers were saying, maybe even a lot of the aspects of the executive order from Trump on homelessness, because it's providing accountability. It's forcing action on the part of the person receiving the benefits, I think is the general thesis there. But in a community like yours, in St. Charles, for instance, is it a local government solution to this, or is it more of a charity solution to this, or is it both?
Both. It's a public-private partnership. That's what's worked in most communities across the country. You need the buy-in and the from the government entities. Of course, you know, they need to be invested. But I hate the word charities. I prefer nonprofits.
Okay.
You know, the nonprofits and the churches are very active in our community in St. Charles County. Everybody, citizens, neighbors, you know, like I said, your kids are sitting next to you, whether you know it or not, they're sitting next to kids who don't know where their food's coming from, who may be being picked up at a dilapidated mobile home park because that's not safe for human habitation. So everybody has to be part of the solution. Everybody has to believe that it exists, because as long as you put your head in the sand, no progress can be made.
Well, Shauna, on behalf of all of us, thank you for what you have done for multiple decades now. And I think we've gotten your information. So if we need to talk about this topic again, we will give you a call.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Shauna. One of the things I love that she said there is that it's still in their community, but it's more hidden because, and here's the key point, because it's people that have dignity that don't necessarily want to embrace that as a lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
How important is that?
That's incredibly observant of her to notice that, to point that out, because we're not going to see those people because they don't want to be seen.
And that's actually preferable. Not that like you're trying to hide anybody, but just that you have to have people who want to get out of that situation. And maybe they're maybe they've made a lot of bad decisions, and they're probably going to continue to make some bad decisions. But it starts with wanting to improve. If you don't want to improve, ain't nothing going to change it other than force. Other than, okay, you have to go get a meal. Right. What are you going to do about it? Because you're not getting a free one anymore.
Right.
That kind of stuff. Last call on this topic is Kevin. Kevin, thank you for waiting so long. Where are you? How is homelessness where you are?
I'm in St. Louis. Just talking about Sean was just saying, St. Charles, I see two or three homeless people. You know they're homeless. You can tell where they're camped out. But I've never once seen them panhandling out on a corner, which is different from the St. Louis area.
Yes, it's very different.
But I can tell, I was called in originally to say, I said, my first close encounter dealing with personally with homelessness was in Austin, Texas. We went down to do some storm work, emergency storm remediation work down there a couple of years ago. And we did some work at a gentleman's house. He said, you guys can clear a bunch of trees out of property. I have this and that, this and that. He said, the homeless took this property over. He's run him out and tried to run him out. And so the city is basically going to fine him and threatened at this point after, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, threatening to condemn his property and take his property from him if he hadn't cleaned it out because of all the trash in it. There were 187 shopping carts in that property. I don't know, it's like 2 or 3 acres. They've been there so long, the trees have grown up through the shopping carts.
So, but your friend owns this property. He just either doesn't know what to do with it or what?
Well, he's tried with the authorities and said, hey, they say, hey, you can't have this homeless encampment. They have tents, you can't do that. He says, I'm not doing it. They're trespassers. Can you please get rid of them? But Austin, Texas, the bastion central, Texas central for man bun, skinny jeans, and liberal feelings, the police refused to run the people off his property.
Gosh.
They refused to help him. The government down there, agency, refused to help him. This guy was stuck paying thousands. I mean, we charged him $17,000. Basically, he wanted to go in there and clear all the trees and brush out, just didn't have anything to hide behind, so they can, you know, just open flat property. Because he's going to spend all this money or else lose the property or pay thousands of dollars in fines. Because the city said, it's your problem, and we're not going to help you.
So he's supposed to post, an armed guard on this empty lot that he's got to keep people away?
Yeah, yep. He had a lot he purchased to eventually build on it over time, but the way economics sure. worked out wasn't happening in a timely manner. But after a few years, these people just moved. He said, there was a fence up, there's a gate, they broke the lock, they cut to the fence. He said, you can't keep them out.
So there's
just... I tell the police, hey, if you see them in there, run them out. Well, we can't do that.
There's no law enforcement, and then they want to blame him because they're not doing anything.
They want to tell him, well, if you don't get this place, people are complaining about how dirty this place is. He's like, well, no kidding.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people, you know, these homeless people taking it over, and you're not doing anything about it. I've told you, and that was the whole problem was the government doesn't want to. Well, we the liberalism, I think, was like, well, we don't want to be seen as the bad guys running a bunch of homeless people out of their tents and out of the little tent town.
Yeah, nobody wants to be the bad guy. Yeah, nobody wants to do anything forceful.
Nobody wants it next to them, but they don't want to help anybody that has, you know, suffering from this. So yeah. I'm just kind of like, I hate to see it. And I can tell you, people say that everybody's, you know, so many weeks away. If they lose their job, they're this many months or weeks away from losing their home. You have no idea, because I work in the trades, and there's guys I hear in every kind of construction trade. And you tell the employers, the small company employers I hear, I've got guys that are consistently broke. I don't care if you pay them $500 a week or $5,000 a week, they're always going to be broke. And no matter what, they always have their cigarettes, their booze, and their weed, and a lot of them have the gambling going on, but they're 2 months behind on payments on everything.
Yeah. Well, that's what we said.
It's a mindset of self-indulgence anymore. It's like the younger generation is like this in self-indulgence. Yeah. And it's just too easy. And it's like they just have no self-control.
Well, Kevin, I appreciate the call, and thanks for waiting so long to talk.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I mean, those are real issues, too. I haven't even quoted this. So this is from that same article that I read the Trump EO from. It's from MSN. I said that at the beginning of the show. So this is not a right-leaning publication talking about this and saying, well, there's some good stuff in here, which means it's probably a great executive order if they have to admit even that there is a positive silver lining to it. But they interviewed this lady, kind of to Kevin's point here, from Colorado. It doesn't say what city. But she's the chief communications and public policy officer for the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. She said that she hates this order. My guess is that it's because she's operating under a certain modus operandi.
Yeah.
And that's got to change now because the money's going to dry up if it doesn't.
Yeah, the money changes.
But she says, quote, we are very disappointed to see that the administration intends to take this very enforcement-driven, criminalization-focused punitive approach to homelessness, which we know from decades of experience does nothing to actually solve homelessness. We know that forced recovery very rarely works for individuals. Well, duh. You're not talking about...
So does, like, not recovery.
So does just giving them everything and saying, you're fine. You're not doing anything.
No.
So that's very disingenuous. And there is a political solution to this. I like what Shauna said. It's like it's not just political,
mm-hmm.
but there is a governmental angle that has to be supportive of the overall goal. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels in a place like Austin, like Kevin was just talking about.
Right.
All right, we're long. We're going to take a very quick break, and we're going to come back with Wiggins America, which will be led by Irfan today. Stick around. We'll be right back. What's this?
It's called Let's Groove Tonight by
1980.
I don't know, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I don't really know Earth, Wind, and Fire, but anytime I hear it, I'm like, all right.
This one in September, my one.
Johnny's commenting on my shirt. Man, nice eye, dude. My shirt is from Colonial Williamsburg. It's from a particular bar in Colonial Williamsburg. And he goes, best time to go to Chowning's is after 9 p.m. The whole place plays old colonial games and music.
Yeah, Johnny is from Virginia.
Oh, okay. Hi, Johnny. Well, you would know better than me. I was just there as a visitor.
1981.
You were
so close.
Come on, come on. All right, let's do Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Not Wiggins America. Ethan's America.
Disappointed!
Ethan's America.
You know, I forgot for a brief moment that was my intro.
It is. It's just you know what, though? It really helps you because the bar is so low now that people are like, oh, this is going to suck. And then if it's decent, they're like, dang, that's pretty good.
What if it does suck?
Under promise like, oh, and over deliver.
I mean, whatever. Then it's just par. It's you know, you're just par. Shooting par.
Par's not bad.
I guess you take par, wouldn't you?
Par's pretty good at golf. Give it means
us,
you're decent.
Look, we're patriotic. We're conservative. Give us an eagle. You got 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I do. Well, you know, my thought going into today was how can I try and really rip out Ryan's heart? And in doing so, you have to speak on something that is of his heart. And we all know that fast food is on Ryan's heart.
Darn right it is.
It's on his mind all the time. So
it's in my heart, it's in my soul.
This article is the number one unhealthiest order at a bunch of major fast food chains.
Have you picked the worst? I mean, we don't have enough time to really do 30 of them, but can you give me the
I never
highlights?
Said 30. I just said a lot of them.
Well, I knew there was a lot.
So I'm going to pick out a couple of them. Let me ask you this. What is your favorite fast food restaurant? Let me see if it's in here real quick.
I think we've talked about this before. Did we all land on Taco Bell or
That's
Chick-fil-A?
Your favorite?
I don't know.
Favorite fast food restaurant?
It's hard.
Man, Burger King's there if you can find a nice Burger King.
Oh my gosh. I think you might be one of the only people I know that would say that.
Yeah. Where, for Taco Bell, do breakfast crunch wraps with sausage rank for you?
They're not bad. I've had them. Is that one of the worst?
Sausage it says that this yet. Is the worst, most unhealthy thing on Taco Bell's menu.
Why?
It says super high in calories. Mm-hmm. The saturated fat is high. An insane amount of sodium, 1,200 milligrams of sodium.
Oh, man.
The flour tortilla is made with bleached, enriched wheat flour, which lacks the nutrients found in whole grains and also contains shortening, which is high in unhealthy trans fats.
I don't think there's 1,200 milligrams of sodium in salt. How is that not just salt?
The crunch wrap is where salt gets its saltiness.
Oh, okay. They mine a crunch wrap.
It says overall, the combination of refined carbs, unhealthy fats, sodium, and additives make this fast food breakfast item an unhealthy choice if consumed regularly.
That, unfortunately, we don't have any time for any more. People are commenting on that particular dish, though, and one dude is saying in the chat things that I can't read on air because they're so profanity-laced about how much he loves that dish. All right, maybe we'll come back to these.
Maybe not ripping out your heart so far, but definitely some of the people's.
But we've got Kendall Qualls coming up next about the crazy brawl, the racial thing in Cincinnati. Stick around.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.